Cell family could come. We have a really cool moment this morning. I'm gonna do this here, if I can. We have been waiting for this moment for a long time. This is Ron and Gladys Sell and their son Ezra James. Ezra James is his full name. We got Old Testament and New Testament in there. And this family has been through quite a journey in the past 2 years, year and a half, 2 years. I'm going to just kind of give you a moment here. We're going to do a baby dedication, but I want you to hear their story. We sang this morning that we serve a God who makes all things possible, and I want you to hear their impossible journey. Can I give this over to you, Ron?
So when we were 5 months into our pregnancy, they found something in the ultrasound, sent us down to Madison, and we spent the whole day there. Found out that his left ventricle and his heart never formed. He's got hyperplastic left heart syndrome, HLHS, and he needed several open heart surgeries to stay alive. They gave us three options the day that we were down there. First option, we go down to Illinois and have an abortion. Second option, when he's born, we can just do nothing and let him die naturally. And the third and final option, we try to help him. So we decided to help him because he's God's child. And just before he was born, 5 weeks prematurely, he had another ultrasound, and we asked to see a picture of him, and the doctor said, I can't see his face because he's already getting ready to be born. So they rushed her in an ambulance down to Madison, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, they gave birth. They did a C-section. And then we did a procedure to try to restore blood flow to his body because things were shutting down and dying. His lungs were filling up with blood. And they did a procedure. A clot formed in his left leg. And they decided he lost his leg. They're going to cut it off. But while they were waiting for him to get strong enough for the surgery, because he was born 5 weeks premature and he only had half a heart, he grew new veins around the clot and restored blood flow to his leg. So God performed a miracle there again, and all he lost was his foot. So now that's much better. At 5 months, we got a call from the doctor, and they said he have to have emergency surgery. Get down here right away. Got in the car, started heading back down to Madison, and before we even got there, they called, and we were praying the whole way, and they called and said, never mind, you don't have to come, he's fine. Every time he's had surgery, the doctor said, it's amazing, he came through this better than I expected. And I'm like, well, of course, God was guiding your hand. So there's been a lot more miracles, but we don't have all day. He's been a miracle. Yeah. He's always smiling, growing.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Can I hold Ezra James? We're going to try this out. A gift. He's a gift. God has a plan and purpose for his life. Amen? It's a gift from God. And this couple has been praying for him before he was born. Been praying for him. We have been praying for a long time. I know the prayer team, you have sent up many prayers. And we have just shown, we've seen God show up in ways we never thought or even imagined. Amen? And so Ron and Gladys are here today, and they are saying, we give this gift back to God. We are just stewards. We are just stewards of this gift. And we are going to do our best with God's help to raise him up in the way that he should go. There is no perfect parent. And if you are a perfect parent, could you raise your hand right now? Okay. No such thing as a perfect parent. But we have a perfect father who guides and leads us in this pathway. And so we're going to ask for this God. We're going to ask our Father to help us. But we're also going to ask you as a church, will you help this family? Will you help Ezra James by praying for him and encouraging him, encouraging this family to just continue to see this miracle come to life? Amen? So we're going to dedicate him to the Lord. And we're going to give him back to you. We're going to pray for you. Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. Thank you. Everybody just say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful gift, this miracle, this testimony of God's love. And we just proclaim the plan and purpose that you have for Ezra James' life. And so, Lord, we pray for these parents that you would give them wisdom and guidance and the strength that they need. Lord, you've been building their faith over the years, and they're going to need even more. And so, God, we just give him back to you, and we pray that you would use him mightily for your kingdom, Lord, that this testimony would go out and people would say, there's hope for my hopeless need, there's hope and there's life, in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Let's give God praise. We have a children's Bible for you, and Gladys, these are for you. You'll have to share them with Ron. So glad. Thank you, God. Amen. Give God another round of applause. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. What a wonderful testimony. What a wonderful testimony of the power of God. And talking about testimonies, I think she just stepped out, but tomorrow my wife and I will celebrate 35 years of wedding. So that is something for our prayer team to continue to keep on the prayer chain, be praying for my wife, and she needs that. I also just want to give a shout out to Ed Humble. Where's Ed in the back? Today is his birthday. Ed, well, we appreciate you so much. Ed was on the board when I first got here, and he has just been an encourager and life giver. Both he and his wife, Joycey. Appreciate you, Joyce. Appreciate you, too. All right, we're going to get right into the message today. Thank you, God, for that awesome testimony that we watched today. Thank you, God, for his awesome, miraculous interventions. And we give this thing that we said this morning, we give this thing called testimonies. And so when we do this, what we do is we testify. Hey, we just want to tell the whole world, look what God has just done. And so when we give a testimony, when you share, we do this in our circle prayer time, in our service, before our services start every Sunday morning. We just give recognition to the work and to the power and the intervention of God. You see, we believe in a God, as we sang this morning, we believe in a God who takes impossible situations and he turns them around for the good. So we started the other week on this sermon series called More. Okay, how many of you want more of God? You need more of God. I raise my hand. I want God, and I believe that God has so much more for our lives and whatever we can think or even imagine. John the Baptist says this in John 3:30, and I love his heart, and he says, he, talking about Jesus, he must increase. I must have more of him, and I must decrease. And that really is an everyday battle, isn't it? I don't know about you, but that's an everyday battle, like, because sometimes I just want more of me. But every time I try to get more of me, it just leaves me disappointed. But those times that I chase after more of him, it's like all of a sudden that fulfillment, that peace, that joy, that hope that I've been looking for, it comes to life inside of me. So what I need, what I've discovered in this life is I need more of him and I need less of me. So here's what I've noticed. I've also noticed that the more I get to know God, the more I recognize that He's able to do in me and through me more than I can think or even imagine. Wasn't that just an awesome song that our worship team led us in this morning? Can we just give it up for our worship team? You guys do such a good job. And I want you to know the same God who did impossible miracles in the Bible. You ever done that before? You just go through the Bible and you see story after story where God just took an impossible situation and He turned it around for His good. And I want you to know that God who did miracles in the Bible, He still does miracles today. How many of you needed to be reminded of that? He still does miracles today, and that's what Ron and Gladys testified to us this morning. I just ask you that question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Ephesians 3:20 is going to be the focus verse of this morning. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Ephesus. And it's like he's talking, and sometimes I'll do this, and I'm like, hey, stop. No, you really, really, really need to hear this. I don't know what situation they were going through. I know Paul was in prison, and he just stops in the middle of this, in the middle of his paragraph, and he says, I just want to tell you, he just says, now all glory to God, who is able. Everybody say He's able. He's able. Now to glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. We know this is true. I know it's true. You know it's true. But sometimes we need reminders. Sometimes I just need to be reminded. I don't know about you, but I have things in my life that I want to see God do more than I can think or even imagine. There's things that we have been praying about on a personal level, and we're just in our minds and in the situation in the flesh, it just seems impossible. And I just choose to give in to the impossible when I know that I serve the God of the impossible. And I just want you to know, God isn't limited by our logic or by our resource. He specializes in exceeding expectations. So I want to ask you this morning, have you ever been faced with an impossible situation? Maybe you're here today and you have an impossible situation in front of you. Maybe you got a health report. I was just talking to somebody this morning who got a difficult health report, not only for herself, but for her grandson. We're believing with her. Maybe you're having difficulties with your finances and it just seems impossible. Maybe it's in your marriage. Maybe that addiction that you've been wrestling with and you're like, I can't get it. This is just impossible. Some of you, if you raise your hand, you have an impossible situation in front of you today. You can raise your hand. Maybe you're facing one now. In John 6:1-14, Jesus exceeds the expectations of those people who are following Him, as well as a crowd of over 5,000 people. Let me just tell you the story here. You see, Jesus was ministering to a large crowd of people, and they say there was it was over 5,000 men, so that they did not count the women and children. I don't know what that was about, but maybe we could just say we could double that amount. I think it's fair to say we could probably double the amount. So we're talking about 10,000 people. And these people came out to see Jesus do a miracle. They had been hearing that Jesus had been confronting impossible situations, and He had been healing people, setting people free from demons and such, and they all wanted to come out and see this happen. They're like, man, who is this guy? So they had heard about this. And so Jesus comes up with this idea, this impossible idea. He says, hey, guys, disciples, hey, I got this crazy idea. How about we feed these 10,000 people? and there it is, like, Jesus, where are we going to find all of the bread to feed all these people? It would take over a year's worth of wages to feed all of these people here. And then Andrew spoke up. I don't know what Andrew was doing, but Andrew comes across this kid who's got his lunchbox with him. And all these people are hungry, and so he's probably like this the whole time. And somehow he got a hold of Andrew got a hold of his lunchbox and said, Jesus, I got this lunchbox here, and it's full of some delicious food. We'll talk about that here in a minute. And so Jesus said, hey, let's just take this lunchbox and open it up here. And he prayed, and he blessed it, and then he began to break it apart. And he says, okay, hand this out. And they took these baskets, and they started handing out all this food, and people just started eating. It's kind of like family night the other night, Wednesday night. How many of you went out to family night? Yeah, I think our next family night, I want to encourage you, July 9th, I believe that date is, come out to Marathon Park through family night, and just a great time of connection. But it was kind of a family night atmosphere where we had plenty of food. We had prepared for that, but they were just completely unprepared. But Jesus keeps breaking it apart. And Jesus said, okay, so I don't want anything to go to waste here, so I want you to go around with these large baskets, and I want you to collect what is left over. And we're not talking just like a little picnic basket or a little lunch basket. We're talking these large baskets. And they came back with 12 large baskets. We're talking about an impossible situation. It is impossible that you can take a kid's lunch and break it up to feed over 10,000 people and have 12 baskets left over. A miracle had just happened. Let me ask you, what would happen to your faith had you been there? Had you seen it? Had you watched him multiply this food? Had you tasted it? And I'm eating more. Where is all this food coming? And just, wait a sec, where is it? What would that have done to your faith? I think one of the most difficult parts about facing an impossible situation is not knowing what to do. Isn't that the hardest part? What do you do when you don't know what to do? So my in-laws, they live in Bemidji, Minnesota, and I think you saw that there were some terrible storms that went through North Dakota and northern Minnesota. My in-laws had a direct hit on the town of Bemidji. And there's a storm, and you can look it up. It's called derecho. I think I said that right, derecho. And it is like a wall of wind, straight line winds. And it went through the town of Bemidji, a town probably like 15,000 people. And they said it was up. They had like Hurricane 2 class winds. And there's trees down everywhere. They got a gigantic hole in the roof of their house and the businesses. And we were just looking through Facebook yesterday, and like, oh my word, it just took a direct hit. And I'm sure that those people woke up the next day thinking, this is impossible. What am I going to do? I know my in-laws, they're in their 80s, and we tried to connect with them as much as we could, but their power's out, and just like, what are we going to do? An impossible situation. So what do you do when your situation seems impossible and you don't know what to do? I heard somebody say this line. I like this line. When it comes to trusting God for an impossible situation, there's a saying, and it goes like this. You do your part, and you trust God to do his part. How many have heard that before? You do your part, and you trust God to do his part. I like, there's another way that it's saying, you know, because we know that we serve a supernatural God. You know what supernatural means? Supernatural means it's beyond the natural. Like, there had to be a God intervention. And so I like it when someone even says that, like, hey, you do this. You do the natural, and you trust God to do the super. I like that. You do the natural, and you trust God for the super. So when it comes to impossible situation in our lives, what is our part? Today I want to talk a little bit about this. Our part in the impossible. What is our part in the impossible? And the first part, if you want to follow along in your notes, and this is whatever impossible situation that you're facing, you have to believe he is able. Just look at your neighbor and say, he is able. We're talking about God. We're talking about Jesus here. Whatever situation you're facing, I just want you to know God is able. He's able. He's able to intervene. He's able to turn the story, right, Ron? He's able to turn around. God is able. I want us to look at our story here in verses 5 and 6. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. And turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" I like that because Jesus is setting up his disciples here. Hey, where are we going to find all this food? He probably had a little smirk on his face. And, hey, how's this going to work out? You see, he's building their faith. Time out here. How many of you realize that sometimes facing impossible situations builds our faith? Some of you needed to hear that. That maybe, just maybe, the impossible situation you're facing, God is working on building your faith. It says, Jesus said, "Where can we buy all the bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. You see, Jesus already knew the miracle that he was going to perform. But Philip and the disciples were only focused on what they could see. How? How does that work? How does that happen? You see, the disciples saw the problem and Jesus saw the potential. You can write that down in your notes. So many times that happens where we just see the problem. It's so easy to get focused on the problem. And Jesus said, "No, I want you to see the potential in this problem." You see, believing is not about what you have in your hands. It's about who stands beside you. It's who's standing beside you. So Jesus invites us to believe in his sufficiency before we see the solution. You see, that's the starting point of belief. Looking at what we have and still believing that God can use it. Looking at the situation and knowing that God can intervene. And so before the miracle happened, the disciples looked around and they saw lack. Let me ask you, what is it that you see in your difficult situation that it just doesn't seem like it's enough? What is it? What do you already have that God may want to multiply in your life? You see, the writer of Hebrews says this. He says this about our faith. He says this, "And it is impossible." Oh, there we go. Impossible? It's impossible to please God without faith. You see, faith is the difference maker. It's the difference maker. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe. Everybody say believe. You got to believe. We have to believe that he exists and that he is able. Just catch that. We have to believe that he exists and that he is able. And that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. You see, there is nothing that is impossible for God to do for those who believe. Those who believe. So I ask you this morning, this is so crucial that you answer this question. What do I believe about Jesus? What is it that I believe about him? I know the stories. I've read the stories. I've read the Gospels. And I see what Paul says about him. I see what the entire Bible says about him. But what do I believe? Do I believe he is who he says he is? Do I really, really believe he is the way, the truth, and the life? You see, what you believe, really, it's a reflection of what you believe. Does that make sense? What you believe is really a reflection of your faith in him. Do I believe that he performed the miracles that the Bible says that he did? Do I believe he's alive today? Do I believe that he is alive today and he is working in my circumstance? Do I believe that when I pray, he hears me? Do I believe that he cares? Do I believe that he unconditionally loves me? Do I believe that he can save me by just his grace and putting my belief in him? Do I believe he wants to intervene in the impossible situations I am facing? Do I believe he is able? And those are deep questions. So I ask you again, what is it that you believe about Jesus? Because faith begins when we see Jesus for who he is and what he's able to do. Let me say that one more time. Faith begins when we see Jesus for who he is and what he is able to do. And Jesus invites us to believe in his sufficiency before we ever see the solution. When I went to North Central University, and I was just a youngin', not really, I believed Jesus, but I didn't understand everything. I was still learning about the Bible and everything, but it just seemed like my mind opened up, and the more my mind opened up, the more my faith opened up about God. I've talked about this book before, but this was for our Old Testament class, and we were to read this book called The Lord of the Impossible by Lloyd John Ogilvy. It's an old school book. But really what it says, it's an old school book of the Bible stories in the Old Testament. Joseph and Joshua and Moses and Elijah, and just stories of how the Lord of the Impossible would come into impossible situations, and he would turn impossible situations into incredible possibilities. Did I say that enough? Does everybody get that? It just opened my eyes that we serve, that same Lord of the Impossible, he exists today. And I hope that this is encouraging your faith today, that the Lord of the Impossible makes all things possible. Amen? For those who believe he's able. What do we do when you don't know what to do? What is our part in the impossible? First of all, believe that he is able. Second of all, we're going to ask him for the impossible. We're going to ask him for the impossible. Let's get back to our story here. So John and Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Again, can you imagine the responsibility that Jesus put on these disciples to feed these guys, to feed all these people? And like, wow. And that's what the disciples did. They took on this responsibility. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do? And so the disciples, really, their response to Jesus is like, hey, what if we just sent them away and have them go get their own food, you know, take care of themselves? But Jesus said, give them something to eat. So you see what was happening here is the disciples were trying to do this on their own. They were trying to tackle this impossible situation on their own. And Jesus was trying to build their faith and says, watch this. So turning to Philip, Jesus asked, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? And he was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. See, Jesus was setting them up for a miracle. And that's when they came to him with what they had. Andrew shows up, as I talked about earlier, and he brings that kid's lunchbox. I don't know how he snagged that kid's lunchbox, but he got a hold of it. And he says, okay, Lord. God, Jesus is like, what do we have here? What do we have, Andrew? So I brought God right here, and we got, this is probably about the size of it right here. We got our five loaves here, probably about the size right there. We got our five loaves here. I'm not going to ask for this to be distributed unless you're really interested, and we can try it, right? The Lord of the Impossible here. And then I couldn't, well, this is what I got here. So we got, to, I think this is about the same amount, this crunchy breaded whole fillets here. And I think this would probably equal the amount of fish that we had here, okay? So this is what we have. We have the five loaves, and we have the two fishes. And we have about 10,000 people. We probably have about 175, 150 people here, and I just don't think this would do it. Maybe for like three of you. Maybe I'm looking at something. I don't know. I'm just not sure this would do it. But this is what they had. And so Jesus is asking, what do you have? What do you have? And by them bringing this to Jesus, that was their way of asking. And that's That's what I think Jesus wants us to do. He say, hey, what do you have? What impossible situation that are you facing today? What can you just give that to me? What do you have? Let's see if we can turn this into a possible situation. A possible situation. So that's, you know, James tells us this. James is the brother of Jesus. And he says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Asking is so crucial. We can say that we believe all day long, but asking is when we begin to put that faith into motion. When we say, okay, God, this is all I have. Lord, you see the impossibility of this situation. Will you take this? I ask that you would take this, God, because I can't do this. Will you take this from me? Again, what is it? What is it that you're carrying this morning? Is this that for you? Is this the doctor's report? Is this your marriage that's fallen apart? And is that addiction that you're carrying? And you're like, I just give that to you. I'm asking you, Lord, to take this impossible situation and turn it around. You see, I think one of our biggest hindrances from God doing the impossible in our lives, I believe James is pointing it out, is because we're not asking. We're just not asking. What is it that holds us back from asking? I ask myself that question. I think, to be honest, sometimes it's my lack of belief. I think sometimes it's my pride. You know, I can figure it out. I'll figure this out myself. I got this. Got this. Wives, how many of you are, don't raise your hand, but you hear your husband saying those things. Or maybe it's this one. Sometimes I don't want to let go of the control. Because no telling what God will do. Can I really trust him? Isn't that crazy that we would have that idea? Like, God, I got this impossible situation, but I don't want you to ruin it. and this is the way I want you to do it. I'll give it to you if you'll do it the way that I tell you to, right? Is that what is the reason why you struggle to ask? And then when you do ask God for that impossible situation, how is it that we're called to ask? I think when I look into the Word of God, I see that we're called to ask boldly. Boldly and confidently. I believe that when we go to God, we need to be specific. Lord, I want to see this miracle. God, I want to see the cells of this cancer dissolved and expel it from my body. I don't know. But what does it mean to be specific for you? And then when we ask God, and this is the one that bothers me the most, is we have to ask patiently. Because I don't know about you, but like, Lord, deal with this now. And God says, well, I am working on it, but you're going to have to be patient because it's not going to happen in the timing that you want it to happen. And then the last one is when we pray, when we ask God, sometimes we need to be persistent. Look at your neighbor and say, persistent. Persistent, yeah. What does this look like? There's a story in Luke chapter 18 where Jesus tells a parable. And understand, a parable is a story that he made up, okay? He made up the story to try to give them an illustration to understand the power of God and how God works. And so it says here that there was a widow. Jesus says this story. There was this widow, and she kept going to this judge, and this judge was corrupt. And this judge, and she had a request, and she had this need, and it was an impossible situation. And the judge was so busy, and like, get out of here, lady, get out of here. And the next day, she's showing up at his doorstep. She beats him to the door, and she's, I just need this, and get out of here, get her out of here. And day after day after day, she is persistent. And and finally, this corrupt judge says, okay, here. I give you what you're looking for. I give you the justice, this impossible situation. Be gone. Go away. Don't come back here anymore. And Jesus is saying, he says to us, if a corrupt judge would do that for somebody, What does your Heavenly Father who loves you, what would He do for you? And sometimes we have to be persistent. And my wife and I have been, if I can be vulnerable, we have been praying for our son for a long time. And it just seems like each year our son keeps running faster and harder away from God. And the temptation is to just, well, that's the way it is. But we've just determined we're going to continue to be persistent. We are going to declare His name. You see, our son was dedicated to the Lord. 31 years ago, we dedicated him to the Lord. And we're going to be persistent. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep believing. We're going to be patient. And we're going to keep believing that God is going to turn that life around. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? What is our part in the impossible? The first thing is we are going to believe that He is able. I believe God is able. I'm going to ask Him to do the impossible. I'm going to ask Him to do what I cannot do myself. It's not possible for me to do this. And the third thing is I'm going to trust Him for the results. Trust Him for the results. So I'll confess to you, this is probably my hardest area. I'm pretty good. I really believe God can do anything. I really believe He's able to do whatever He wants. I have no problem. And I have no problem asking, why is it that I struggle with trusting Him? Why is it that I have a hard time letting go? Why do I do that? I don't know. I just believe He's able. Just this past week, we had a leadership meeting with our leaders of our church, and I was like, and I think the guys were looking at me, hey, Pastor, are you okay here? And I was just having a hard day because I think I was having a hard time letting go of control of some things. Just having a hard time, just a hard time trusting with some specific issues. With the building that's happening in our church. I know this when I know that I'm struggling with trust because I get anxious. You know, I don't know if anybody's anxious here today, but maybe your anxiety is attributed to your lack of trust. I know that when I'm struggling with trust because I get agitated easily. Just, it's not happening fast enough. And I know that I struggle with trust sometimes because I want to control the situation. I already talked about that a moment ago. I want this done, Lord, and I want it done my way. Can anybody relate to that? I want it done my way. You see, when they handed what they had over to Jesus, they had to let go, and they had to trust. They had to let go of the control, and they said, God, I trust you. I don't know how you're going to do this, but here I am, because this is impossible for me. Lord, do that. And look what happens when they let go. Then Jesus took the loaves, and He gave thanks, and He distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and He did the same with the fish. And then when they had all they had enough to eat, He said to His disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over for those who had eaten. You see, Ephesians, Paul, go back to Paul, he says, reminds us that the power is already at work within us. And I see that our trust activates that power. I heard someone say this. This is a good thing to write down here. Trust is more than believing God can. It's counting to walk with Him until He does. It's continuing. I'm sorry. Trust is more than believing God can. It's continuing to walk with Him until He does. Imagine 12 baskets. I want to tell you what kind of God He is. He didn't just feed the 5,000. He fed the 10,000 plus. He didn't have just a little, like, Tupperware container of leftovers. Okay? He had 12 baskets. Already, he is exceeding more than they could ever think or even imagine. Already, he's just blowing them out of the water. You see, and that's what Paul is trying to tell us. God is able to do more. That situation that seems impossible, he can do more than you can think or even imagine. That the word is abundance. We serve an abundant God who is more than all that is needed or is expected. And I love this. Trust is knowing that when I surrendered all to him, he's working. He's working. That even when I'm not getting the phone call from our son, not hearing a good report, I know God is working. How do I know this? Because Paul tells me this, and we know that God causes everything, everybody say everything, to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know he's working. I know he's working. And I want you to know this morning, we serve a God who is able. And I just believe he is able. We serve a God who cares about all your needs. And I just want you to know that whatever you're facing today, he is able. He's able. As I close out this message today, I'm going to ask if we could just stand here. We could all stand together here. And I'm going to ask just right now, if you're here today, would you just take a step of faith? If you're facing an impossible situation, I'm going to encourage you this morning. Would you step out in prayer? Would you step out in faith and come forward here? And we want to believe with you for your impossible situation. If that's you today, just come forward. You're facing an impossible situation in your health, in any relationships. If I can have any of our leaders, if you would come and stand next to these people, we're just going to take a few moments to pray. I understand if some of you, if you do need to go, we're just going to take a few moments to pray. If you do need to go, feel free to do that, but we want to take a few moments. Just come forward so we know who we're praying with right now. In Jesus' name. Yeah, we got people all around. If you're struggling mentally, emotionally, you got a physical need, a spiritual need, in Jesus' name. We just want to apply what we're learning here in Jesus' name. So Lord, I just wanted you right now to just begin to, if you come forward, just say, God, I believe. I believe you're able. Just begin to tell him, God, I believe you're able to intervene. I believe you are the God of the impossible. I believe you are able to turn this situation around. You are able to heal this broken body, this broken marriage, this broken mind, this broken heart. I believe the broken finances. I believe you're able to intervene. And I believe you're able to do more than I can think or even imagine. And so if you're up here praying, just say, God, I'm here. I'm asking you. I'm asking you. I'm asking you right now. And then tell him what you're asking him to do. And remember, ask him boldly. Ask him confidently, Lord. Ask him specifically, Lord, I need you to heal this body. I need you to heal this marriage. I need you to heal this heart. God, I need you, your help with my mind and this depression that I might be carrying. God, I need your help with this addiction. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And now I want you to declare, God, I give this to you. I give this to you. I trust you. I trust that you're going to take this and you're going to turn it for the good. Just tell him that you're trusting him. God, I trust you. I don't know how. I don't know when. I don't even know why. I just trust you. I trust you. I trust in a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly more than I can think or even imagine. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Can I just pray? If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do that this morning. Just say, Jesus, I need you. I invite this Lord of the impossible to come into my life and to forgive me. I'm choosing today to live for you. Forgive me of my sins. Become the Lord and Savior of my life in Jesus' name. If you have just prayed that prayer this morning, I want to encourage you, before you leave, go to the guest center. We have a gift. We have a Bible that is going to help you in your faith journey this morning. Amen. Amen. How many of you, I think this is like one of those Paul moments where Paul was speaking to them and he just needed to just stop and say, all glory to God. All glory to God who is able. All glory to God who is able to do more than we can think or even imagine. And I want to encourage you that you would go out today. He's able. He's able. I'm not defeated. He is able. Amen. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just pray that these miracles would come to fruition. We just thank you for what you did in the Cell family, for healing Ezra James. And God, we pray that testimonies, stories of like this would be repeated. We thank you that the Lord of the impossible who fed all those people is working still today. And we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Let's give him praise for what he's going to do. What he's going to do. Blessings on you. Blessings. Thank you for coming today. We'll see you next week. We continue on with our more series.